plant in Sumedang Regency, West Java on Monday. The project are spread over 18 provinces with a total power generation capacity of 3.2 gigawatts. Prabowo said the projects were possibly the largest energy projects inauguration in the world.
Pada hari ini saya mendapat kehormatan besar.
Today I have a great honor and I'm very proud to be present in Jatigede to inaugurate a group of big projects in 18 provinces. If I am not mistaken, in 26 projects that produce 3.2 gigawatts of energy, as well as 11 follow-up projects for the construction of substation and grids.
Di 18 provinsi, kalau tidak salah di 26 proyek yang menghasilkan 3,2 gigawatt energi, juga dengan rangkaian 11 proyek lanjutan pembangunan gardu-gardu dan jaringan.
Prabowo added that the project is critical for the Indonesian nation, given how important the energy needed to carry out the nation's transformation. He said that Indonesia needs industries to become an advanced and modern nation, improve people's welfare, and eliminate poverty, supported by sufficient energy. Prabowo also claimed that Indonesia is one of the most advanced countries in energy transformation. Indonesia officially joined the Global Carbon Trade Network by unveiling its first international carbon trade transactions at the Indonesian Stock Exchange BEI in Jakarta on Monday. As reported by Antara News Agency, Indonesian Minister of Environment Hanif Faisal Nurofik noted that this initiative aims to achieve Indonesia's climate targets.
The implementation of international carbon trading is a reflection of Indonesia's commitment following COP29. Proving that Article 6 can be operationalized. This movement also strengthens efforts to encourage and accelerate the second nationally determined contribution, NDC, which will be submitted in mid-February 2025.
Speaking during the launch event, he emphasized that Indonesia's international carbon trading will be implemented by conforming to the 2021 presidential regulation. Nurofik further remarked that the Indonesian government had optimized various instruments, including the National Registry System, to support the country's participation in international carbon trading. He said that Indonesia's international carbon trading would involve potential strategic energy projects in several places. Besides that, Nurofik said the government has been collecting funds for climate initiatives through performance-based grant deals established with various parties. At the ASEAN Foreign Ministers Retreat in Langkawi, Malaysia on Sunday, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono expressed the country's support for the ASEAN Community Vision 2045. The vision is aimed to make ASEAN a resilient, dynamic, and robust region in the next 20 years. In a statement by the ministry on Sunday evening, Sugiono emphasized the need to strengthen ASEAN's institutional capacity to achieve this ambitious vision. He also called for more comprehensive cooperation to address increasingly interconnected global challenges. Sugiono further stressed the importance of ASEAN unity and a proactive role in maintaining the region's stability and prosperity amid rivalry between major powers. Additionally, Sugiono advocated for strengthening ASEAN's mechanism and institution, including the ASEAN Regional Forum and the East Asia Forum. He also underlined the ASEAN necessity to intensify its support for Myanmar to resolve its ongoing crisis and fully implement the 5 points consensus. Indonesian Ministry of Trade noted that the trade volume between Indonesia and South Korea from January to November 2024 reached $18.3 million, making South Korea one of Indonesia's most important economic partners in East Asia. In the Indonesia-South Korea Business Forum and Business Matching held by the ASEAN Korea Center, AKC, and the Korean Importers Association, KOIMA, on Monday, the ministry hoped that the activity could support the expansion of export markets, including for small businesses, as well as increased cooperation in the manufacturing sector, digital economy, and renewable energy. The Indonesian government claimed that the National Strategic Project status granted to the Pantai Indah Kapuk 2 or PIK 2 residential area in Tangerang, Banten applies only to the Tropical Coastland Ecotourism Project and is not linked with the recently known 30-kilometer sea fence in nearby waters. In a statement on Sunday, Indonesia's coordinating minister for economic affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, highlighted plans to develop an ecotourism destination using funds from sources other than the state budget to boost tourism and creative economy sector. The project planned to cover over 1,700 hectares of land valued at about 65 trillion rupiah, or nearly 4 billion US dollar, is expected to create over 13,000 jobs as a collateral effect. The Indonesian National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, reported that 644 residents from West Halmahera Regency, North Maluku, were evacuated to mitigate the effect of the ongoing eruption of Mount Ebo. The mountain is currently classified at level 4 or alert, as reported by Antara, following a significant uptick in volcanic activity. In a statement on Monday, the head of the Disaster Data Information and Communication Center at the agency, Abdul Muhari, said the number of evacuees will increase following the ongoing evacuation of residents from 6 villages in Tabaro District, West Halmahera. The Indonesian government will issue a circular letter this week regulating school holidays during the Islamic fasting months of Ramadan in March this year. Indonesia's coordinating minister for human development and culture, Pratikno, confirmed this in a statement at his ministry's office in Jakarta on Monday. According to Pratikno, the letter was signed jointly by the country's minister of primary and secondary education, Abdul Mukti, minister of religious affairs, Nasaruddin Umar, and minister of home affairs, Tito Karnavian. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here is today's commentary on ASEAN Community Vision 2045 and Contribution to Global Resilience, Abdullah Pani. The foreign ministers of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN members on Sunday gathered in Langkawi, Malaysia for the ASEAN Foreign Affairs Minister Retreat Meeting. This meeting discussed strengthening ASEAN under Malaysia's chairmanship through the pillars of political security, economy, and social culture. They also discussed ASEAN's strategic directions, including steps to strengthen the ASEAN community and external relations. In the meeting, Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono emphasized Indonesia's commitment to supporting the ASEAN Community Vision 2045. According to him, the vision has an important meaning in realizing ASEAN as a resilient and dynamic region in the next 20 years. The ASEAN Community Vision 2045 highlighted a number of challenges of concern from climate change, digitalization, to sustainability. This vision was expected to also be able to answer the challenges of carbon emissions, gender equality, and digital transformation. The year 2023 has been declared as the warmest or even the hottest year on record. This highlights the importance of accelerating the decline in global temperatures. Therefore, commitments to reduce carbon emissions and combat global warming must be translated into swift and concrete actions. On the other hand, ASEAN recognizes the transformative power of digital technology in shaping a stronger future. The fourth industrial revolution and digital transformation can provide solutions to social, economic, and environmental challenges. The combination of carbon trading and digitalization has the potential to accelerate the transition to a low-carbon economy, encourage sustainable practices, and contribute to global efforts to combat climate change. Overall, carbon trading can be a valuable tool in global efforts to address climate change and contribute to achieving the Sustainable Development Goals by promoting environmentally responsible prices and supporting sustainable projects around the world. Meanwhile, there is a lot of confidence in the world community towards ASEAN's efforts in promoting gender equality and women's empowerment. ASEAN supports a paradigm shift towards women with equal rights and an ability to participate in change within the community. As ASEAN elaborates its vision for the next 2 decades, the challenges ahead are enormous. However, the opportunities to intensify regional and international cooperation towards a resilient and dynamic community are no less vast. The ASEAN Community Vision 2045 is expected to be one of the reliable solutions to address the challenges, not only for Indonesia and the region, but also for people around the world. That's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Begin today in history with January 20, 1965, when Indonesia leaves the United Nations. Indonesia officially left the United Nations on January 20, 1965, through a letter from the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Dr. Subandrio. This decision was made in response to Malaysia being elected as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council, a move seen as harmful to Indonesia's interests during its confrontation with Malaysia. President Sukarno considered the UN to be unfair, a tool of Western politics and a violator of its charter for supporting the formation of Malaysia. This decision led to Indonesia's international isolation and the loss of platform to resolve its conflict with Malaysia. Indonesia rejoined the UN on September 28, 1966. Under President Suharto's leadership, the nation shifted its focus to economic recovery and improving its international reputation. Next, on January 20, 1972, Pakistan launches its nuclear weapon program. Pakistan launched its nuclear weapon program on January 20, 1972, just weeks after its defeat in the Bangladesh Liberation War and the 1971 India-Pakistan War. Prime Minister Zulfikar Ali Bhutto led this initiative, appointing Munir Ahmad Khan as the chairman of the Pakistan Atomic Energy Commission, with the goal of producing nuclear weapons within 3 years. India's nuclear test in 1974 pushed Pakistan to accelerate its nuclear development, focusing on uranium enrichment at Kahuta Research Laboratories and other supporting technologies. Pakistan conducted its first nuclear test on May 28, 1998, just weeks after India's second test. Five devices were detonated in Rasco Hills, Balochistan, in an operation called Chagai 1. 2 days later, a second test, Chagai 2, took place in the Karen Desert. With these tests, Pakistan became the world's seventh nation to develop and test nuclear weapons. Finally, on January 20, 2001, George W. Bush was inaugurated as the President of the United States. On January 20, 2001, George W. Bush was sworn in as President of the United States after winning the 2000 presidential election. His leadership was marked by significant events, including September 11 attacks, which led to his administration's war on terror policies. During his second term, after being re-elected in 2004, Bush faced various challenges, including a prolonged conflict in Iraq and Hurricane Katrina in 2005, which drew criticism over the government's response. As his presidency ended, Bush also dealt with global economic crisis. Despite the challenges, his time in office is remembered for several major policies that shaped the United States and the world. And that concludes Today in History.
Crawling away into the distance.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's episode of My Indonesia highlights Indonesia's efforts to realize quality tourism through the ASEAN Tourism Forum. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Tourism, actively participated in the ASEAN Tourism Forum 2025 held in Johor Bahru, Malaysia, from the 15th to the 20th of January 2024. Following the opening ceremony, Minister of Tourism Widianti Putri Wardana expressed that Indonesia's involvement in ATF 2025 is part of its ongoing efforts to strengthen collaboration with fellow ASEAN member states. Quoting a press release from the Minister of Tourism on Sunday, January 19th, Minister Widianti stated that Indonesia's participation in ATF 2025 also signifies its commitment to fostering high-quality tourism. She explained that the ASEAN Tourism Forum serves as a platform for cooperation among ASEAN members countries to promote tourism across the region. This year's ATF carries the theme Unity in Motion, Shaping ASEAN's Tourism Tomorrow. Widianti Putri Wardana further emphasized that for Indonesia, the ASEAN Tourism Forum is a crucial strategic event to bolster its role in the global tourism arena, showcase the nation's natural wonders and rich culture, and build mutually beneficial regional partnerships. Minister Widianti hopes that the outcome of this forum will provide a solid foundation for the Minister of Tourism in developing various programs aimed at advancing the tourism and economic sectors in Indonesia and Southeast Asia. During her attendance at the ATF 2025, Minister Widianti also met with the Minister of Culture, Sports and Tourism of the Republic of Korea, Yoo In-chun. During their meeting, they discussed the strengthening of bilateral cooperation between the two nations in the tourism sector. She revealed that the discussion centered around the ASEAN ROC Comprehensive Strategic Partnership, which includes several potential collaborative efforts in the tourism sectors of both countries. Among the initiatives discussed was the joint promotion of tourism with the hope of enhancing the interests of both nations' citizens in visiting a wide array of destinations and attractions in each other countries. And that concludes today's My Indonesia.
Hold my hand and say Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
And today, Indonesia Wonder, with the title, Kota Tua Jakarta. Right in the heart of Jakarta, hidden among its busy streets and tall buildings, lies Kota Tua, a place where history comes alive. With its iconic colonial-style buildings, this historic area tells the story of Indonesia's past, bringing us back to the days of the Dutch rule. But Kota Tua isn't just about history. It's a favorite spot for locals and tourists alike, offering a mix of learning, culture, and fun. There's many things to explore here. Start with Museum Fathahila, also known as the Jakarta History Museum. It's the perfect place to dive into Jakarta's story, from its early days as a small port town to the bustling capital it is today. Then there's Museum Wayang on Jalan Pintu Besar Utara. This museum is home to an incredible collection of traditional puppets from across Indonesia, showing off the beauty and diversity of our culture. For something a little different, visit Museum Bank Indonesia. Here you'll find fascinating exhibits about Indonesia's banking history, from ancient coins to colonial era money, and even miniature of Dutch trading ships. It's a unique way to see how far we've come. Don't forget to stop by Taman Fathahila, rent a vintage bike, and enjoy the views of the old colonial buildings. Feeling playful? Dress up in the Dutch-style costumes and take some fun photos while riding around. And when you're ready for a break, head to Cafe Batavia, a charming restaurant with a classic vibe. They serve both Indonesian and international dishes, making it the perfect spot to relax and soak in the nostalgic atmosphere. Getting to Kota Tua is easy. You can drive there or take the KRL commuter line or Transjakarta for a stress-free trip. The area has plenty of facilities too, like parking lots, restaurants, and a tourist information center. For the best experience, visit in the morning or late afternoon when it's cooler and the atmosphere feels just right. Kota Tua isn't just a place to visit, it's a chance to step into history and make memories with friends and family.
The future has not arrived.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Anyway, today's topic is about the Perusahaan Ekspedisi. The Perusahaan Ekspedisi, which means a shipping company. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation about per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. This conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a staff at a shipping company in Semarang. The staff told Chris the fee of shipping his motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. I'm going to say each word 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Biaya, which means fee.
Pengiriman,
which means shipping.
Dari Semarang,
which means from Semarang.
Ke Palangkaraya,
which means to Palangkaraya.
Rp1.300.000.
Rp1.300.000, which means
Rp1.300.000.
Per, which means each.
Sepeda motor,
which means motorcycle.
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor, which means the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle.
Berapa biaya,
which means how much is the fee.
Mengirim,
which means to send. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Which means, the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. In the sentence, there is the phrase per sepeda motor, which means for each motorcycle. The word per, which means each, which divides each one of the sepeda motor, or motorcycle.
Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using expressions per.
Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000.
Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan
100,000 rupiah, which means membership in this gym is 100,000 rupiah per month. Harga tiket bioskop 50,000 rupiah per orang. Harga tiket bioskop 50,000 rupiah per orang, which means the movie ticket is 50,000 rupiah per person. For your information, Indonesian term for a two-wheeled vehicle is sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. However, most Indonesians call motorcycles as motor, motor, which means motor. In some other regions, they call it kereta, kereta, which actually means train. Even some call it with certain motorcycle brands. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about per sepeda motor. Per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve. Sampai jumpa.
Draw me to the town. Sleep with me tonight. She's my lonely wine. Nothing is forever. Nothing is for real. Do you have to leave me? Why don't you just kill me?
I'm
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in this edition of Music Corner, we present a keroncong song entitled Permintaan Hati or Heart's Request by Restianat. The song written by Noe and popularized by Indonesian band Leto was released on August 16, 2007. Many people assume this song is about a romantic relationship between two lovers. However, it actually holds a deeper meaning beyond human relationship. The song can also be interpreted as a prayer from someone who wants to stay close to the Creator. The song speaks of a spiritual connection between a person and their God. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of Permintaan Hati by Restianat. Happy listening.
Dengarkanlah permintaan hati.
Indonesia.
A red rose each, a drop of Sicily, reminds me of you. Alongside a sigh, alongside a cry. Saw summer rain, a smile that hides the pain. What should you be ashamed? The scene every life, a little rain must fall. And you are my friend, charmingly sentimental brain.
Jakarta. Inilah siaran luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.voinews.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia. From Indonesia to the world. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia. Halo pendengar, jumpa kembali dengan saya Agus Santika dalam program Bahasa Indonesia. Selama 60 menit ke depan, beberapa mata acara akan hadir ke ruang dengar Anda. Mengawali perjumpaan sesaat lagi, Anda akan mendengarkan Warta Berita.
Dari Jakarta, Voice of Indonesia dalam Warta Berita.
Voice of Indonesia menyampaikan Warta Berita. Inilah sari berita penting. Presiden Prabowo Subianto resmikan proyek ketenaga listrikan 3,2 gigawatt di Jati Gede. Indonesia resmi luncurkan